Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Please are shopping the number 4 pick in tonight's draft. Sounds like the Suns are going to take DeAndre Ayton and the Kings are going to take Marvin Bagley. Barry Trotz, the new head coach of the Islanders. I'm Steven Spector. That's what we know. Now back to the show.
Back in on the drive. Carrington here. Spector here. Fanny here. We'll get to talking football again here momentarily. I got a question about drafts. And it's not just specifically an NBA draft thing. I know tonight is the NBA draft. But it's a draft in general question. Because I am maybe in the 1% of the 1%. 1%. I spend a lot of time on social media. A lot of you don't spend as much time on social media as I do. But you are aware that basically Twitter has broken the draft. Whether it's the NBA draft, whether it's the MLB draft, whether it's the NBA draft, because right now they have tried to put a limit on what you can do during the draft.
Yeah.
Like NFL Network, ESPN, and Fox have basically said you can't tweet out picks during the draft because people are watching it live. So Adrian Wojnarowski has just tweeted essentially what the first six picks are going to be before the draft. They never said you can't put the information out there before the draft happens.
Yeah.
But Woj is maybe the best sports reporter in the world. So if he's telling you Suns are taking DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley's going number 2 overall, Luka Doncic is going number 3, Jaren Jackson's going 4, and he doesn't even have a team by Jaren Jackson at 4. To me, he's telling you, hey, a trade's going to happen. They just haven't announced it yet, but I'm pretty confident that Jaren Jackson's going 4. He has Mo Bamba going 5, and he has Trae Young going 6 to the Magic. Woj is not guessing here. Woj knows who the top 6 picks are going to be in the draft. It would appear that social media has broken the draft. Is that a good thing for sports? Because Twitter and social media and Facebook is about watching things live and being able to interact with people live. Yeah. Man, you can't do that for the draft anymore. If you're sitting there on the first round and you're trying to do the draft, Twitter is normally 3, 4, 5 picks ahead of the television broadcast, yeah. Which to me is always really going to hurt the product. Has social media broken the draft? Because the answer appears to be yes.
Why can't you just get off social media during the draft? I mean, that's an option too.
But I mean, just in 2018, yeah. We agree it is a marriage at this point.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, and it yeah. certainly is the right way to do it. But that's not how people watch sports in 2018 more. At yeah. some point, your product, it can't force us to adjust.
Yeah.
You need to adjust to what we're doing. People, whether it be a television show, whether it be the draft, they like watching it on television, mm-hmm. and they like live reaction and talking about it to the masses. So that part's not ending anymore.
Yeah.
But if we're going to continue to have the draft the way that it is, that they're basically going to tip picks, like, what's the point of watching the NBA draft for the first 6 picks if I already know what it's going to be hours before it happened? I mean, the intrigue doesn't start till 7. And knowing the way Twitter works, they're going to tell us who number 7 is yeah. going to be in the next 30 minutes. That's just how this thing works.
So let me ask you, because I don't typically watch, you know, drafts on social media. I'll watch them on TV and I'll do it that way. Unless we're working or we're doing a show or doing something. How are they? Is Woj always correct on this stuff?
Woj is not
like missing. Has he done this? Like,
yes, every year.
Okay.
Woj is not. I mean, Woj is
because
basically
there's a lot of people in the media miss.
Yeah, but I'm
they
saying
they make their predictions yeah, and they miss on these picks.
But Woj ain't me. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Woj is Adam Schefter. If Adam Schefter told you, you know, Chiefs are about to draft X, Y, and Z. Chiefs are drafting X, Y, and Z. Adam Schefter's not missing. Yeah. He's getting this information directly from the source. So I'm just saying it when it comes to the draft. And again, we see the same thing happen in the NFL. If you are sitting on your computer or your phone watching the NBA or the NBA or NFL draft, you are way ahead of the television broadcast.
Yeah.
They're sitting there talking about, oh, I wonder who's coming up. Bro, we all know who's coming up.
Yeah.
I just wonder if social media has broken the draft.
I think if you're the NBA, you just got to tell your guys stop leaking stuff. I mean, that's the only thing you can do about it, right? If they don't leave, like Woj just isn't making this stuff up, right? I mean, he's locked in with teams or agents, and teams and agents are telling him. I mean, that's the only way that you can do it because the cat's out of the bag here, man. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, that to me is on the league. If they want to fix this and they want more viewerships, then they better freaking tell people and tell their teams and tell their GMs and get on those agents about not doing this and not leaking the info. If the info doesn't get leaked, it's not going to get out there. I mean, that's the only way you can stop it, and I'm not sure that's possible.
So we can move on here and talk about the NFL, because today on USA Today, there was a story, basically four teams that made the playoffs in 2017 that are not going to make the playoffs in 2018. And number three on the list behind the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers were your Kansas City Chiefs. It reads as follows. Alex Smith was never going to take the Chiefs where they wanted to go. Mahomes looks like he could develop into that quarterback, but it wasn't going to happen with him spending another season on the bench watching Alex Smith dink and dunk his way to 10 wins and an early postseason exit. It's almost like Steven Spector works for the USA Today.
I think he does.
For those reasons, moving on from Alex Smith was 100% the correct move, but that doesn't mean that that will make the Chiefs a better football team next season. They're going from one of the smarter quarterbacks in the league to a younger QB. So even if the Chiefs' offense is more stacked on paper as it looks with Sammy Watkins, it's unlikely that this offense produces at the level it did a year ago. I don't know how unlikely it is, though, with the offense. Now, I think it's possible that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the season that Alex Smith has, but that doesn't mean that you can't make up the offense in other ways than just strictly passing yards. I mean, Kareem Hunt could be better this season. Mm-hmm. So it says this: it's unlikely the offense produces at the level it did last year. I mean, when you add Sammy Watkins, when you add him to the fold, and then you get Spencer Ware back, the Chiefs are certainly, in my opinion, banking on their offense taking that step forward.
I agree. I don't know what they're talking about here. You're telling me the offense isn't going to be as good? You're cracking on Alex Smith because he couldn't take you where he wanted to go. You're okay with him coming in with Patrick Mahomes, and now this, and you add Sammy Watkins, and now you're telling me the offense can't produce at the level it did a year ago? I think this piece kind of, it contradicts itself. What drives me crazy, too, about some of these predictions that these and I know they're looking for clicks, and I know they're doing all that stuff, but they're basing these predictions on stuff that happened last year, and they go on and they talk about the defense. Well, the defense is completely different than it was last year. DJ's gone, Tom is gone, Marcus Peters is gone, Eric Berry's back. It's completely different. So now you're telling me, and they have, I mean, Carrington, you and I have no idea how this defense is going to be. I mean, we can project how we think Kendall Fuller's going to be.
I feel pretty good about where. I mean,
well,
about,
but I mean,
you got
a new inside linebacker in Anthony Hitchens alongside Reggie Ragland. You got rid of Benny Logan and Nacho. He's out of there. So you're going to have new D linemen. You're adding draft picks that we've never seen play a game before. You've got two new corners in Amerson and Fuller, and you got Eric Berry back there, and Ron Parker's gone. So if USA Today is going to come out here and say and try to tell you what this defense is going to be, I think they're crazy.
I just think it's more about playing the percentages of anything. Yeah. Like, what's the percentage that the Chiefs have a great defense?
Yeah, zero.
Very, very slim. Yeah. Be stunned if they have a great defense. What's the percentage of them having a really good defense? I would say also very slim.
Yeah.
This defense isn't a top 10 defense on paper. Maybe somebody is drastically better than I think they're going to be. I think it would take a lot for this to be a top 10 defense. I don't know if you can lose a guy like Marcus Peters, lose some of the pieces, and then in one offseason with a lot of younger parts, just be a top 10 defense. But I do think it's very realistic for this to be one of the top upper half of the NFL. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if this defense finishes 15th in the league. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they're an average defense. They did get younger. They did get faster. I think they're going to be better against the run. Hard to be worse against the run. And I think that Kendall Fuller plus Eric Berry can neutralize not having Marcus Peters, who was one of the top 12 corners in the league.
And what Joe Mays just said when he was in studio, too, really got my attention. Because I think one of the questions we had going into the season, can a guy that's the best slot corner in football in Kendall Fuller, can he move to the outside? I mean, I think it's a fair question. We all had that question. And Joe was saying that's easier to do than going outside to inside. So that actually made me feel a little bit better when it comes to putting Kendall Fuller on the outside.
Spector actually had some reasons on why the Chiefs wouldn't make the playoffs in 2018, but right now he's getting some yoga tips from Joe Mays.
Is that what he's doing?
So we'll wait to get those.
Is Joe going Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah,
back there?
I mean, I can see him going wax on, wax off, and trying to give him a little bit of tips. All right, so let's do it. Let's pick four teams, because there are four teams that made the playoffs last year that will not make the playoffs this year. We're Jacksonville, Carolina, the Chiefs, and Buffalo. Buffalo is almost a certainty. Buffalo ain't making
Buffalo's
the playoffs
out
in 2018. Buffalo is certainly not making the playoffs. I'm going to go one step further, and I'm picking Tennessee. I think Tennessee was a very, very flimsy team last year. I'm going to guess Houston is a lot better. I'm going to bank on the health of Deshaun Watson. So if you're asking me to swap out a team, I'll swap out the Titans, who were the 5 seed last year. I'll swipe them in for the Houston Texans. And Buffalo's out of here, and very early on, I do think that the Los Angeles Chargers make the playoff as well. So if you're asking me two teams in the AFC that made the playoffs, I'm swiping out Tennessee and I'm swiping out Buffalo, and I'm going to insert Houston and Los Angeles in the AFC.
Here's this is a wild card here, and you and I have talked about this team before, a team that I don't think is going to make it. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams. I think they're wildly talented, but they're going to be wildly unpredictable. This season could be an absolute train wreck with Peters, Tlaib, and Ndamukong Suh, and a 34-year-old head coach. It seems like a little bit much for me. Now, I could be completely wrong on this. I mean, this team could go crazy and have a killer year and run the table. But at the same time, I think that the train could come off the tracks and it could be bad. I'm going to say the Rams don't make it.
I'm going to go for my other two teams to get to my four. I'm going to say the Saints. I just think the NFC South is, like, always so weird and wacky and unpredictable. And it's something about the Vikings I just don't believe.
God, that was my next team.
I guess something about the Vikings I just don't believe. Now, I think they improved at the quarterback position.
I hate Kirk
Cousins. Last year just felt like one of those seasons that, like, everything just came together at the right time.
And they're the Vikings.
Yeah, like one of those feel-good kind of years. So right now, if you're asking me, and we still got a lot of time, injuries can happen. There's a lot of things that can happen between now and when I'm putting my opinions fully on the books. My four teams would be Tennessee, Buffalo, I would say the Saints and the Vikings next year as the four teams I would take out of the playoffs that made the playoffs last season.
And I've got the Rams, the Vikings, the Bills, and the Panthers. I don't think the Panthers are going to get back in. I think Cam Newton is too up and down. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, and Buffalo is Buffalo. And I think the Rams are going to implode. I think those are my four.
What is it about Kirk Cousins that you don't really like so much?
I think it seems I'm waiting for him to have this big, amazing year where he puts his team on his back and they go win. And it never happens. The guy gets paid a truckload of money. They pull up the Brinks truck, drop it off in his driveway of his mansion. He gets 20-some-odd million a year and then never delivers. They were 7-9 last year. I mean, Kirk Cousins just never delivers. I keep waiting. I was excited to see the Skins come into Kansas City last year and watch him play, and Kirk Cousins couldn't deliver. Just year in and year out, Kirk Cousins doesn't do it. He looks like he should be a really, really good quarterback, but when it comes to wins and losses and putting a team on his back, it doesn't matter.
Kirk Cousins kind of reminds me of Matt Ryan. Like, I feel like people used to say that same thing about Matt Ryan for like 8 years, and they eventually broke through and they finally went to the Super Bowl. I like Kirk Cousins certainly a lot more than you do, but time really isn't on his side. He is now heading into year 7. He's almost 30 years old, actually. He will be 30 August 19th. I mean, there's probably 2, 3, maybe 4 more years of peak Kirk Cousins, but the numbers are certainly there. The last three seasons, he has thrown for 4,000 yards, 25 or more touchdowns, and completed at least 65% of his passes. So the numbers have certainly been there, but the team success, as you alluded to, has not been there for Kirk Cousins.
It's the most important position in all of sports, and his teams don't win, and he's the quarterback. I mean, it's not always the case. I mean, you could have a completely crappy team and no weapons and no protection. I get that part of it. I fully understand that. I think we saw that with Alex Smith early in his career in San Francisco. I feel like Kirk Cousins is underachieved, and he's overpaid for what he's able to deliver.
Coming up on the other side, Buzz Killington Spector will give you his reasons on why the Chiefs will not make the playoffs in 2018. And Gil Brandt predicts that one of your players is going to be a new addition to the Pro Bowl team. We'll tell you who coming up on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Spector here, Fanning here. We got a special guest joining the studio coming up at 4:30. I think it will put a smile on your face coming up here momentarily. Someone on the text line asked a very good question. Text line 69306. Did I miss you fellows talking about Jeff Triplett being made an ESPN analyst? Yes, you did. Check out the podcast page. 610sports.com. You can also get the podcast on iTunes. I don't think we spent enough time talking about it. They literally hired this person to be a rules analyst on ESPN.
A blitz. Mariota flattened. Back at the 30-yard line. The ball on the ground. Derek Johnson at 35.
You know what? The rules analyst that they've had so far goes to tell me that they don't really know the rules the way they say they do. Like, I remember thinking that Mike Carey was one of the best officials in the NFL. You guys know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Man, back when he was an official, I thought he was an amazing official. Then he got the CBS job. And then I realized how many times he was doing the same guesswork when it came to catches and fumbles that I was doing. and that I was shooting a higher percentage of getting these calls right than he was. And then they fired him because we were making a mockery of his decisions every time. Is that not what's going to happen here on ESPN? The same person who saw Derek Johnson tackle Marcus Mariota, he called that a forward progress play. How can I ever trust anything you have to tell me about a call that's going on in the game? You don't know the rules yourself. How can you explain the rules to me?
I don't know why they hired him. Awful. Have you seen, like, rule books, though, for sports? Like, how thick they are? Like, I got a golf rule book in my golf bag. I don't know all the rules. I don't know how anybody knows all the rules. You're telling me that every single one of those officials has all that stuff memorized. There's no way. It's impossible. Hell, they don't even know what the catch rule is. Jeff Triplett at ESPN being a rules expert is awful. It's like me being a casserole.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic behind it. Like, I don't know how you can watch that guy officiate and then think that he is someone that can really dictate the rules to me. It just makes absolutely no sense. Spectre, you were getting yoga tips from Joe Mays, but now you're back focused on the show. You wrote down today the Chiefs will not make the playoffs in 2018. I don't know if this is to be devil's advocate, if it's to help the show.
I didn't say that. I just said these will be the reasons
why
the Chiefs don't make the playoffs. So I haven't made an official prediction yet for the 2018 Chiefs.
My bad. Can you give us your reasons then? Yes. Oh, great one when it comes to why the Chiefs hypothetically in this aren't going to make the playoffs.
I'm just trying to perfect my downward-facing dog with Joe, okay?
Oh, wow.
Someone on the text line says, I hate when you play that clip. That's fair. I can't really argue that.
I do, too. It kind of makes my skin crawl. Bottom third of the league in pressure and sacks, which means Justin Houston isn't producing, Dee Ford isn't producing, and Tano Passanio is not ready to play in the NFL. The plus-minus turnover differential is going to be way different than it has been under Alex Smith. I looked it up. Only in 2014 did the Chiefs have a negative plus-minus turnover differential. The last 3 years, they've been in the top five of the NFL. And third, and this may not be controlled necessarily by the Chiefs, it's as if the Chargers live up to the hype. I think it's realistic that the Chiefs go 9-7 and the Chargers go 10-6. The Chiefs have a good season, but they just don't make the playoffs because they don't win the AFC West this year. I think that's realistic.
I think the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, and maybe this is the most simplistic way, and we can all just go home after this explanation. The way I see the Chiefs not making the playoffs is one of two things. Patrick Mahomes isn't nearly as good as people think, and therefore their offense isn't as good, or their defense is way worse than we're giving it credit. Like, sitting there reading the text line, the Chiefs' defense to most people seems like something you can overcome. Maybe it's not. Like, maybe their defense is absolutely terrible this year. And then they're giving up 26 points a game. Man, if you're giving up 26 points a game, man, you ain't making the playoffs this year. Like, I don't know, even if their offense is good, if you can carry a defense that bad this year. So to be very simplistic, when it's certainly more complex than that, it's very simple to me. Patrick Mahomes isn't nearly as good as people think. So he has a good rookie season, but he throws 19 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. That's a good rookie season, not a playoff kind of season to me, especially given the defense that you're going to have. Or their defense is just way worse than any of us anticipate it being.
The biggest, if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, I think it's because Mahomes gets hurt. That's the biggest thing. Without him, they got nothing. You want to rely on Chad Henne? Get the job done? I mean, that's the one thing we haven't really talked about. That, you know, I mean, if Mahomes goes down, the Chiefs are screwed.
Yeah, I mean, that's
doesn't matter about their defense. Doesn't matter that they got Sammy Watkins and they got nobody to get anybody the football. Like, that's the biggest thing. I don't think it's going to be near as bad as it has been the last couple of years. What are they, 29th against the pass, 25th against the run? So I don't think it can get much worse. So I think the defense is going to be improved. To me, everything rides on the health of Patrick Mahomes. You know, if he can stay relatively healthy and have a decent year, I think the Chiefs have a really good chance of squeaking in and getting a wild card.
Text line 69306, name the teams who go 9-7 and get a wild card spot above a 9-7 Chiefs team. You can't do it. The AFC is 16 deep to only 4. That makes it seem like we can predict the NFL.
You have no idea.
Exactly. And last year, if I had told Chiefs fans, Alex Smith would have the best season of his life and Jacksonville would still be better than you, you would have called me crazy. If I had looked you in the face and said, Alex Smith will throw 28 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions, and Jacksonville will still clearly be better than you are this season, you would have called me an idiot and said, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't watch the NFL. That's what happened. If I had told you that average-ass Titans team would come into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs in like week five, you would have called me crazy. Imagine if I had told you after the Patriots game, you know what, this Chiefs team is going to lose in the playoffs to the Tennessee Titans. You'd have been like, you don't know anything about football. What are you talking about? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're asking me right now to spell. Man, that's the beauty of the league. That's why we follow it. Six teams that you think are going to be good are going to be bad. And then six teams you think are going to be bad are going to be good. That's just why we watch the league here. So, and people using the argument about not buying into the Chargers because they're the Chargers. I mean, let's be honest here. You're asking me to buy into the Chiefs. They're the Chiefs. They've won one playoff game in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. At least the Chiefs get into the playoffs. I mean, the Chargers have a hard time getting in there. I mean, they have, what, double-digit wins in how many years now?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the Chargers, and the one common thing that they have is Phillip Rivers. A lot of great numbers, not much postseason success, and they haven't won double-digit games in a long time.
Text line 69306, I want to hear the logic behind picking the Chargers because based off last year's, that's like picking West Virginia to win the Big 12. Is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes Bill Self now? No, you're not. You won the AFC West 2 years in a row. Let's calm down. Like we're not talking about the Patriots here. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying the Chiefs can't make the playoffs. If you ask me right now, I would predict them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think if we're honest with ourselves on paper, the Chargers are better than the Chiefs today. Now, the game's got to be played and all that. Yeah. But if you're asking me today on paper, I'm picking the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Steelers-Jags game last year, right? Who thought the Jags were going to go in there and just absolutely curb stomp the Steelers? And their defense is going to be that. You can't predict what's going to happen in the NFL. I think the Chargers, I still go with the Chargers are the Chargers, and they've got to prove it to me before I buy into them. I'll buy into the Chiefs and Mahomes in his first year quarterback before I'll buy into the Chargers.
Coming up on the other side, in honor of the NBA draft, we are going to do a very special edition of a Drive Draft. We bring back an old friend for the Drive Draft. We'll tell you who next coming up on the Drive. Text line 69306. Nice tease, C-Dot. I'm now sitting in the parking lot waiting to find out who is in studio.
I can't believe Angelina Jolie came in to do this with us.
I think it's Danny. My wife thinks it's George Brett. She's for sure wrong. No, it's not either one of those.
It's pretty cool that that Blake Lively's in studio with us.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about puns. Maybe you've missed it over the last couple of days, but we have been somewhat enamored. We have been enamored.
Not just puns, though, like local news puns.
Yes, with local news puns. We have been absolutely enamored with them. If you miss what I'm talking about, well, this is from earlier.
On Monday, the Green mascot shot a free meal high into the stands with his iconic cannon, hitting a Montgomery County woman square in the face. And here's a sentence I never thought I'd say, but if you thought a bun and a sausage couldn't really hurt anyone, frankly, think again.
So we've been spending a lot of time last 2 days making fun of television news puns.
Local news playbook, man. You got to put at least one. And you know, there were some like 22-year-old producers that, man, I just wrote the greatest line ever. Hey, Cindy. Yeah, Dylan. You got to listen to this. It's the greatest pun ever. Ah.
So we welcome in to the studio.
Text Panda, P-E-N-D-A.
Heist, you missed it. I actually misspelled the code words.
Twice.
In the same day?
No.
Nah, they were like over up
here. Here's the best part, though, Heist. We were doing the Drive Spelling Bee. And leading into the Drive Spelling Bee segment, C-Dot misspelled slipper.
Text the word honey. H-O-N-E.
And then we had slipper.
So I can't spell. We've already given up the secret.
I get it, though. That Y is silent.
Is slipper. S-L-I-P-P-R.
And that was the Drive Spelling Bee.
Slipper.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. I got in my head. Like, you be thinking, I can't mess this up. Don't mess this up.
That was the story of my life for like 2 years.
And then, I mean, now we do the code word for 5 weeks. It's like, yo, you got a lot of opportunities to misspell the word. But as I just said, Ben Heisler joins us in the studio. I have been trying to trade Specter for Ryan Wachowski. I have offered up my O'Reilly reads. Pick a player. Today's code word is slipper.
Yeah, he's trying to cut you out.
S-L-I-P-P-R.
See what he's doing? See that?
Yeah.
You're bagging on the mole, and now he's trying to cut you out with some audio.
And I've offered Specter for Ryan Wachowski. Still waiting to hear.
You're a bigger buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
And we have a rule on the show that if you say something negative about Specter, we will read it on the text line. So if you got bad things to say about him, we brought you in. Because
I'll keep that in mind.
Because we're doing a Drive Draft, and Binkley's out of town. So...
As soon as I heard that Binkley was in Omaha and I got that phone call from you, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. All right, so what we're doing today is, today's the NBA draft, so we got to do our own draft. This is a movie series draft. The only rule is there has to be at least 3 movies in the series. There has to be at least 3 movies in the series that you take. You can take whatever you want. So, like, ride along. There's a one and a two. There's no three. Cannot take ride along. I was just making an example off top of my head of a movie that has.
Go ahead and cross that off my list.
I know, man, that was going to be my pick.
I know. That was going to be a number one overall pick. So, all right. Do you understand the rules?
I do indeed.
Spectre, you understand the rules.
I got it.
Fanning, you got it?
Yeah.
I have the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I will select The Godfather.
Ooh, that's good.
As the number one overall pick in the movie series draft.
Can I be honest?
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Pulled me back in.
There was a movie series that has been mentioned numerous times over the course of the years on this show that I could have sworn you were going to take. You surprised me with The Godfather. Nicely done.
No, I mean, that's why I do this. You know, that's why.
For the surprise element?
That's why I do this. All right, Brad, you have the number two overall pick.
Oh, this is easy for me, man. I got to go Star Wars. Easy. Star Wars, man. That's the number. I can't believe you let that slide, man.
I mean, I wasn't going to take a movie series that I've never seen.
I told Heisty you were going to take it, even though you didn't like it, because you thought it would help you win.
I just wasn't going to do that, you know? I just personally wasn't going to do that. All right, Ben, you have the third overall pick. I look forward to you taking a Land Before Time.
How many of those were there?
93.
Okay, they're going to steer clear, at least of the first round. If Speck could have traded up, I know that he would have taken this. With the number three selection, I will take the James Bond movie series.
Yes,
James Bond is off the board.
Damn it.
Spectre's so mad.
I love it.
Oh.
We never made rules about trading out. I would have given away 4 and 5 for 3.
Would you really?
Yeah, because James Bond is the greatest movie series franchise of all time.
I mean, Ben, now that you've made the pick, do you want to trade 4 and 5 for James Bond?
Not after that, huh?
Okay, my bad. All right.
I'll keep it.
My bad. All right, Speck, you've got 4 and 5.
All right. Close out the first round. I knew it was gonna fall to me. But it doesn't matter whether you win this draft by an inch or a mile. Mm. Winning's winning. Fast and the Furious.
I don't know, man.
I was taking that second round.
I knew that was the pick.
I was taking a second round.
Fast and the Furious is a great movie franchise.
No, absolutely. Fantastic.
All right.
Is it really great?
It's great.
1, 5, 7.
So wait, what happened to 2, elite. 3, and 4?
2 was okay. 3 was not great.
1 was terrific, and then after that you lost me when the rest of the movies suck.
No.
I mean, you're trying to sell the text line on voting when you're doing it with, number 2 was all right.
2 was okay. 1, 5, 7, and 8 are elite.
2 was the first movie I ever went on a double date with.
How'd
back
that go?
Back at East Glen Theater, back in Lee Summit. I went on a double date to see Fast and the Furious 2. It worked out all right.
All right. Start off the second round. I'm going to go Die Hard.
Not I thought bad.
Die Hard 1, 2, and 3 were all very good movies. The first one being one of the greatest movies of all time.
The one in Russia wasn't too bad. I didn't think that was a bad one.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but I think 1, 2, and 3 were so good that it's worthy of a second round pick.
Okay. All right, Ben, back up to you. You just have James Bond right now. We are in the second round of the Drive movie draft.
There's so many good action movies that are still on the board as far as movie series go. I'm going to go on the drama side and take a great action drama.
Sounds awful.
I will take the Rocky series.
I figured you were going to go.
Still want to take that back, Fanning?
I was hoping.
No, Rocky's good.
I was hoping that Rocky was there for me.
No, how are you going to take a series in which you hate one of the main characters?
I don't want to get into that.
I'm just asking.
I didn't want to, but Rocky's the greatest.
Play into the crowd.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Plus, it sounds like he's taking a couple punches over his day.
Plus, you got to catch the
chicken, relax.
Too.
Please don't talk about Rock this way. I'm not going to let you sit here and talk about Rock this way. All right, Brad, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Bourne series.
The Bourne series?
Yeah, Jason Bourne.
I can't argue that.
I'm lying. I love me some Jason Bourne films.
It's a solid pick. I don't know if I would have gone second round with it.
Well, it's not your pick, is it, Ben?
No, it's not.
All right, then.
All Kevin right.
Costner over here.
I am going to take the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
It's a good pick.
Of Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think Spectre or Ben would try to steal this for me, I will take the greatest animated trilogy of all time. I will take Toy Story as my pick.
It's a good pick.
I would have made the top 15 rounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
Toy Story is incredible.
No, thanks.
I would have made it my last round pick.
Toy Story is incredible.
Not picking cartoons.
All right, I'm taking the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. So right now, we are heading into the third round. If you're missing what the draft is, Ben is back. You have to take a movie series, and it has to have at least three movies in the series. I have The Godfather, the Christian Nolan Batman movies, and Toy Story. Brad has Star Wars and Bourne. Ben has James Bond and Rocky. Spectre has Fast and the Furious and Die Hard right now.
So I'm up, right?
You are up.
All right. This is a tough one for me. It's a tough one. I'm going to go with the Ocean's 11 series. Ocean's 11, 12, 13.
I can't knock that.
Does that include Ocean's 8?
No, you get
11. I haven't seen it. Is it any good?
You get 11.
I'm just
13.
Asking.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
I don't know if he was including that in his mix.
It's like, how cool are all those dudes, man? Like, Clooney and Brad Pitt in those movies are phenomenal.
So it's a great series.
Ellen Barkin was a smoke show at like 78 years old in that one.
Didn't think about it from that perspective.
That's a great series. I'm not knocking.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking.
Usually you guys make fun of my picks.
I mean, you're making good picks today. Oh, wow. I mean, I wouldn't have taken Bourne, but I'm not a big Bourne guy.
Yeah, I like Bourne.
Yeah, you can make an argument, I think, for every series that has gone so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, round three, I'm going to go to the comedy side. I'm going to take a great movie series. Movie series that's been around for a long time that continues to be relevant every Christmas.
I like how Heist sells it like before he even makes the pick.
What do you take, Home Alone?
I don't see Adam Silver up there.
I'm not taking Home Alone because three ruined it. I'm going to take the Vacation series.
That's a really good one. Damn it, I wish I would have thought of that. I even think the new one was really good. Like the latest one?
Yeah.
With Ed Helms?
Vacation.
It still plays.
All right.
God, that was a good pick. Boy.
So these are my final two, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to take five, don't matter to me.
It's a good pick, guys.
We'll stick with four.
Really good pick.
All right, I'm going to go with the Jack Ryan movies.
Ooh, that's good.
Hunt for Red October, yeah. Patriot Games, Clear Jack and Present Danger, Ryan. Some of All Fears, and Shadow Recruit.
No, that's really good.
I've not seen one Jack Ryan movie.
Jack Ryan's great. I haven't seen it either. Yeah,
it seems really good.
Fake Bourne and fake another movie series. I don't want to say the name of it because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah. What do you got, Spec?
Go ahead and panic and take Lord of the Rings and get out of here.
No, I'm between two.
Take Harry Potter and get out of here. Take Twilight and be done with your draft.
This guy wasn't kind to my people, but Lethal Weapon back in the day was really good.
So he was off my board. Character issues.
He has serious character issues. That's why he fell to the fourth.
I'm dying.
And there's a clause in his contract just in case he may not make the roster. But I'm going to go Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon.
Oh my goodness, though.
That's good though.
Last
pick for you.
There's a lot of different directions I can go here. There's no family movie on my board yet, but it would be reaching too much.
You gonna make the pick or? Jeez, Heist. This is unbelievable.
Give me the Avengers.
The Avengers.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good pick, Heist.
The Avengers.
Yeah.
All right.
That rounds it out.
Last one for you,
man.
Last one.
This is a tough one for me, man. You guys aren't going to like it. You're going to make fun of me for it, I think. But
sometimes
that's called the panic.
Brad, I know you're not taking this. Sometimes people with the "I can't believe you didn't take" just always cracks me up. Jason Statham's Transporter movies are not worthy of being drafted.
No.
You know what I mean? Not worthy of being drafted. Relax.
I'm going to go Iron Man.
Iron Man. I think
does that count in the Avengers?
I'm saying to me, Ben got you because people would say.
Man. I got Iron Man. No. It counts.
You can take
but
Iron
I have
Man.
I'm
just saying he has Iron Man. You don't. He has Iron Man, Spider-Man, Thor, everybody.
That doesn't count though, does it?
You can take Iron Man. Just know that it's an inferior pick to the Avengers
or Iron Man.
Yeah, you can take Iron Man.
Iron Man 1 was great. The second Avengers was terrible.
Yeah, no, I'm taking Iron Man. Iron Man's my dude.
I cannot believe.
I know what you're going to go with.
I got this steal. I got a steal.
It's on my list.
Rambo. How is Rambo still on the board?
Because I passed on Rambo to take Lethal Weapon.
How is Rambo still on the board?
Because the one in Afghanistan is terrible.
How is
and
Rambo
the latest one is not good either.
The board.
Because I passed on it early.
I mean, Mission Impossible was still up there too. I think there's been some really good Mission Impossible.
I thought Speck in the end of the fourth round was going to go with Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Three was really bad. One and two are
fantastic
great
movies.
I thought about it.
I passed on one of my favorite series because I didn't think it would win the poll. The Indiana Jones stuff was one of my favorites.
I told you, once they put Shia LaBeouf in there,
that's better than you think.
They put Shia LaBeouf in there.
Really quick, we'll do this, and then we'll put it to a Twitter vote. If everybody had one more pick, what were they thinking about going? I was thinking about going Scream. If I had five, I was going to take Scream as my pick.
I would have probably gone either Indiana Jones or Saw.
I probably would have gone with the Naked Gun.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I was between
Scream. There's three of those, though?
Yeah, the third one's pretty bad, but the first two are great.
I was between Scream and American Pie, because American Pie just, you know, for our generation, those coming of age movies.
How about Transformers, man? I was a Transformers guy.
Transformers.
Nobody took Harry Potter, by the way.
Yeah. I'm stunned. I mean, Fanning seemed like that was his thing. Like, you were angling to take Harry
Potter.
I really
wasn't. Like, that's not my thing. And what was the other one? The Narnia ones? Isn't there there's a series on that?
Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah.
I don't think they're the same.
Text line 69306. I would like to see your best of the rest. So text in of the movie series that we didn't take. Who could come up with the best one that could happen on the other side? Plus, I want to talk to Heiss about something I know he's excited about. Coming up is the Drive. Back in on the Drive. If you missed it, we welcome in a very special guest. Ben Heisler joins us on the Drive. Very weird that now Ben Heisler is a guest on the Drive. And we did a movie series draft. The only rule was you had to take a movie series that has at least three movies in its series. I selected Godfather, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Toy Story, and Rambo.
Weed!
Brad selected Star Wars, the Bourne movies, Oceans 11 through 13, and the Iron Man series.
I'm having a very bad day.
Come on now, Spec.
Ben selected James Bond, Rocky,
that's good.
The Vacation series, and The Avengers.
Oh, man. Hey.
And one Steven Spector took Fast and the Furious, Die Hard, Jack Ryan, who is just fake Mission Impossible and fake Bourne series, and Lethal Weapon.
You have officially given me a boner.
Those were his movies.
That's the worst pick.
Do you guys think won?
I think it's probably going to be me.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I won.
Heist or C-Dot, truthfully. I think Heist or C-Dot are going to win.
Spec, who do you think won?
It's not Carrington because you chose an anime movie, so you're out.
Yeah. Toy Story.
It's not an anime movie. Animated movie.
Yeah.
Japanese
it's
animation.
Not anime.
I shortened animation to anime. Vacation's overrated.
The only movie series where every Toy Story after the original was better than the original. Toy Story 1 is really good.
So they got it wrong the first time, and then they finally figured out, like, $500 million later. That's what you're telling me?
I'm just telling you.
So you're out.
Just get to the point. So I won.
No, you lost. You were terrible.
You put in Star Wars.
Yeah, you were terrible.
What do you mean it's the greatest series of all time?
Well, that's why you're in last place right now on Twitter.
Come on now.
Heist, I wanted to play this for you.
I mean, Heist picked Vacation, which is another overrated movie series.
Terrible. I mean,
not that good.
His picks were terrible.
Join Mel Gibson.
I can't. Again, he has a clause in his contract where he can be cut at any time.
Anytime. I wanted to play this for you. This is Jeff Goodman. He was on Gabe DeArmond's podcast, Power Mizzou. This is what he had to say about Michael Porter Jr. I want to play this for you because Porter could be going to play for your Bulls.
Now all that matters is the medical information that the NBA teams have right now, which, you know, I just got off the phone with a couple NBA guys earlier today, and one said, listen, our doctors have told us, stay away, don't draft him. But what he told me is I've talked to other people in other organizations, and I have as well, where they have not red flagged them to say, can't take Michael Porter. There are some that have said, hey, listen, we're not sure about the long-term viability of Michael Porter in his back, but we're not going to tell you not to take him. It's certainly a risk when an 18-year-old has back surgery and has dealt with back problems for the last couple of years. Ultimately, I still feel like Michael Porter is the second most talented player in this draft. But he could slide into the 10 range just because everybody's so worried about that back and whether he's going to be able to play through the first contract even.
So, Heiss, as a Chicago Bulls fan, I don't think the Bulls are letting Porter slip past them. If Porter's available at 7, I think they're drafting Porter. From being around the Missouri program enough to at least be tracking on a day-to-day, Would you want your NBA team to draft Michael?
100%. Especially if you're one of the teams that were tanking over the series of last year. You want to get a player that has the best potential to be a star. Michael Porter Jr. is that player. And so I would be stunned if he ends up going past either Chicago at 7 or Cleveland at number 8, considering that they may not have LeBron James after this season. If anything, what I see the Bulls doing is likely going and taking the safe pick, which is Wendell Carter Jr. out of Duke. But if I'm the Chicago Bulls fan, I'm absolutely imploring the team to at least take a chance. You were bad for a reason to put yourself in a position to go and get a star, and Michael Porter Jr. is that player.
I think what excites me most about this draft is, man, you can be picking outside the top 10 and maybe get a star, like Colin Sexton from Alabama, the point guard. He could go like 12th overall. Man, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the best point guard in this class. Like this NBA draft class, I think it's certainly probably the most deep one we've had, or the deepest one we've had since 2003. I'm not saying there's a LeBron in this class or a Carmelo or a Wade.
There's no clear-cut guy. After DeAndre Ayton, I think everybody is basically stuck on him as saying he's the number one overall guy. There's plenty of discussion that Luka Doncic could be considered number one. Some people believe Marvin Bagley is the number one guy. There's just so much intrigue at the top, and you just have no idea where so many of these guys are going to go. Trae Young at one point was the consensus number one player. He fell down. I'm with you on Colin Sexton. We talked to our buddy CJ Moore on the Fantasy Sports Markets podcast, and I asked him who would be this guy that could be Donovan Mitchell for this year, and he said he loves Colin Sexton. And the way in which scouts have evaluated him, they said a lot of his jump shots were those tough shots that Mitchell was taking in college. Sexton reminds a lot of NBA scouts about him, and I think wherever he goes, he's going to be a really nice fit.
If you're an NBA team, would you not draft Trae Young because he's wearing suit shorts today? He got off the bus in
embrace
suit
it.
Shorts.
Embrace it. Really? NBA players have great fashion. They have great style. Why not embrace it?
He had purses and suit shorts.
Does that bother
shorts.
You?
No, I'm just like, he wore
Some
suit
guys wearing
shorts. Suit shorts, man. I was asking.
He's trying to emulate greatness. LeBron wore the suit shorts in the NBA Finals. Yeah. It's a good guy
How'd
to follow.
How'd that work out for LeBron? It worked out good for him in the NBA Finals?
He's still LeBron James.
Yeah, he's still LeBron.
Not going to knock him for
C-Dot
that.
C-Dot says he would wear suit shorts, by the way.
Have you been in Kansas City in the summertime?
Heck yeah, I'm wearing
You're wearing suit shorts?
Yeah, I'm wearing. I'm not saying I'm not going to Byron on the Plaza and saying, hey, I need a custom made. But if they're just going to hand them to me and say, hey, we want you to wear these, it's cool, it's stylish, y'all wear it.
Hi, you in on suit shorts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spec, yay, nay?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not wearing it either.
Heist, plug what you're doing over there at Fantasy Sports Markets.
Yeah, we just had a new facelift over at Fantasy Sports Markets. If you guys have not played, we're a daily fantasy site. We offer up to 8 different sports over the course of the year. With the new facelift, we're going to do a free $50 to the first place winner baseball contest for tomorrow. If you go to fantasysportsmarkets.com and register, use that promo code HOMER. HOMER, that gets you $10 to use without a deposit. And because tomorrow is June the 22nd, with a new facelift, we're doing $622 as a possibility to win in a perfect roster bonus. So go play for free, have a chance to win some money, play some baseball, and have a good time.
How much does it cost?
For the cost of nothing.
Don't cost nothing.
Don't cost
it?
Nothing.
I like it.
Price of on the house, whatever you both used to say.
Got it.
I think I speak for everyone. It was a joy having you back.
It's nice being back, boys.
Yeah, good to see you, Heist.
Good to see you.
Spec, back to hate now, kicking you out. Coming up.
Oh, man. Hate.
Coming up in 120 seconds, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's the hits. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.